really, really appreciate that worship, and particularly that song, you know, song God's Righteousness Revealed. I was in hospital when I had my heart surgery, and one of my grandsons, Brett, recorded that song. How old was he? Five. Three and a half was he then? Yeah, he recorded that song and sung it beautiful. Still got the tape at home, and sometimes pull it out and play it just to remind me that what that young boy at 3.5 years old or whatever he was at the time, that he recorded and sung that song so beautiful. And God's even continued to grow that area of music that God's blessed him with, and a voice to sing. Amen. So really good. But tonight I just want to speak about how will God will make a way. And often people ask a question, and often our reply might be, well, where there's a will, there's a way. And we know that particularly in the things of God, that if we're in the will of God, God will always make a way, won't he? We know that, particularly when we seek him, ask him, knock and find, and all those sorts of things. And when we inquire of God, God is always willing to answer us. And if there's a particular need, a situation that needs addressing, you know, God will make a way for that to happen. If we have that heart just to really reach out and ask him again, say, God, what do you want me to do? Just help me. And God will make a way for this to happen. And God will do that. And we know that so much. And he will just show us a way to overcome or get through that particular need or situation in every way, and without us doing anything about it, apart from, you know, just inquiring of God. But often we expect God to do abundantly above what we could ask or think, don't we? We quote that, we say it, and yet all the time we often forget the biblical principle that, you know, if you will bless God, he will bless you. Amen. And that's something we really need to adhere to, really cling to and trust in that. When you bless God, he will bless you. And we know that as a church, I'm sure, that in many ways that the times that we've just reached out to God and God's answered a need and met a situation. But often we want, but we won't do, will we? We want God to do something, and we just sit there and wait. And it amazes me sometimes people just say, I'm just waiting on God, you know. You ask them, well, what's going on? I'm waiting on God. Well, you wait, all right. Because if you don't ask, you're not going to get. We want something we ask, don't we? You go to a shop, yes, I want this, I want that. And they give it to you because you ask. But particularly in the kingdom of God, God says, ask of me, ask of me. He says, ask of me and I'll give you nations even. And so, you know, we do that, and we reach it out in that way. But, you know, we want to be blessed by the blesser, don't we? But we don't want to reach out. And that's something that we really have to get strong about and to be able to do. And so, you know, how can God show us a way or make a way possible if we're not prepared to extend ourselves and look to him and use the gifts that he has given us to help eliminate or alleviate that need or situation in our life? And God wants to meet our every need, as we ask of him. He is willing to meet that need, but it takes some sort of action on our part, doesn't it? We have to make an effort, don't we? Because this is what is required of us. It's effort and action. God wants us to do something. God expects us to seek him out and look to him to meet our needs. And as the scripture says, seek him and find him. But we have to believe God will make a way. God will make a way. And believe that in making that God way, God, believe that God will show you a way. So in all that, we know in the message of salvation, Jesus' words, I am the way, the truth and the life. And we know that. And for all those who of us who believe the words of Jesus and we've made that commitment and we know and we follow that way, don't we? It's a Christ, it's God's people. But they also, that we have to be obedient to the things of God and to make that effort and action, but also to remain and walk in fellowship with God. And often that's a very hard part, isn't it? A lot of people come to that place of coming to know Christ, which is a wonderful thing, but they just don't have that something in them, the real sense and spirit, that God is there, and to know that he's always there and walk in his way, have that fellowship with him. But we have to often encourage people a lot than that, when they come to that place, but they just don't want to keep reaching out. But as I said, it just takes effort and action to remain in the walk and fellowship with Christ. And effort and action, response is all that is needed to see God's the way God has provided for us to you. We have to reach out, don't we? We have to reach out in every opportunity we get and to trust God and to believe that he is able and he will do as what he promises, and that we are in the hands of the shadow, we are in the shadow of his hand, as Isaiah reminds us. And God has blessed us with his divine overshadowing providence. But we have to reach out, don't we? Every opportunity we get. And had a good time in Mansfield on Monday. It was Pat's birthday, as you might recall, and I was going along the street and I was just looking for a coffee place and somewhere to take her to lunch, being a good husband, all that sort of thing. And when I go along the street, and there's this little cafe, coffee place, and it's like a decking that comes out into the street a bit, onto the footpath. And so I went up there, and I'm checking it out, and I walked around the corner, and there's this big Labrador dog laying on a Staffy Bull Terrier thing. And I thought, I've got to get past them, I might lose a leg in the process. But anyway, I went to step over the dog, and this bloke there, hanging on a cigarette. I said, "There you go, mate." And he says, "All right, not a bad day," and all that. And I sort of took a step and a half, and I thought, I've got to speak to this guy, So I went back and I said, "Oh, g'day, how you going?" And all that, and asked him, did he live in the town? He said, "Yeah, I've just moved up here." I said, "Oh, that's good." And he told me he came from the King Lake area. And this poor guy, he's got two broken hips, or had two hip replacements, and he's just getting back on his feet. And he had a really, really tough time in the fires and got completely wiped out. And he said, "Man, I can't take it any longer. I had to get out." And so he's moved up to Mansfield there and bought a small 10-acre place with a big house on it and that and he said, "Oh, what are you doing here? Do you live here?" And I said, "No, I'm visiting." I said, "We came up to minister and speak in the local church here." He said, "Oh, that's good." And he said, "What church was it?" I said, "Oh, the CRC church down in the road there." He said, "I was there last Sunday." And so my antennas went up a bit more, and I thought, well, that's great. He's only just come to the town, and he's sought out God already, sought a church out, and getting into fellowship. So I was really encouraging him. He said, "Well, where do you come from?" I said, "St Albans." He said, "Oh, the Maldives capital of Australia." He said, "That's all right, I'm a Maldives, so I know." So I said, "Yeah, well, we have quite a few Maldives people in our church, and one of our elders is Maltese," and I said, we love them greatly and that. But So again, you know, when God speaks, you know, we just have to take that challenge up, don't we? And just use that boldness to speak out. But, you know, that man may not have been a Christian, but I would have got to around to telling him all my business, because he asked what I'm doing there, so he would have got told. So I do that. But again, it was just wonderful to see this fellow that's had a real rough go in life, you might say. His marriage is broken up and everything and that. But he's hopefully get back on his feet, and I'm sure the church there in Mansfield will really embrace him and help him. And he said, oh, they're great churches. He said, they offered to come out and help me clean up the farm and this property. He said, but I didn't come on Sunday. He said, all my family came up from Melbourne and some friends, and they helped me clean up the house. Otherwise, I'd been there. So, but again, I encourage you, don't miss an opportunity, people. Don't miss. Because, you know, God will give you the words to speak. He'll make that way possible if we're just willing to reach out him. And as we know, as we read and seek and pray to God, you know, God reveals himself, doesn't he? He reveals himself to us, and he shows us that his hand of providence is upon us, and he directs our paths. Amen. And we can follow. But we just really need to grasp hold of the great God who we serve. Amen. And to take the veil off our eyes, as the pastor spoke about this morning, how Moses had the veil on, but but for us, who are many, many people, we have to have the veil lifted off before we seen that light, didn't we? And we know what it is to walk in darkness. So that's why, again, we just encourage, don't we, to people to reach out and to speak the message that Jesus Christ lives. But take the veil off, and just to see that how God looks after his people. God cares for us, amen? God cares for us, and we just need to have the heart to see that God shelters us, and that God is the rock of all ages, and he's a very present help in the time of trouble. And just to be assured that, again, he is our refuge from the storm. He keeps, protects us. And we are in the shadow of his hand. We need to have that reassurance. But above all, but God wants to protect us and to gather us under, you know, the shadow of his wings. And that was the cry of Jesus, wasn't it? As he lamented over Jerusalem. Jesus lamented over Jerusalem because of their rejection of the Messiah. And as the scripture said there, he said, "You who kill the prophets and stone those who have been sent among you, I long to gather you together like a hen, like the hen does with the chickens, but you would not let me." And that's rejection, isn't it? Christ himself experienced rejection. And I'm sure you know how it feels when you speak to someone and they say, "Oh, yeah, go and tell someone else or something. Don't bother me." And you feel, you know, that rejection. And you probably say, "Well, why do I bother?" But we have to bother, don't we, to get that message across. And we go on to the next one. But just as Christ's rejection was rejected, and with the message, sometimes we're going to experience that, and so we just have to keep on pushing in, because Christ died for those who refused to listen, just as he did for us. And so, all we want is for them to see and feel and believe as we do, don't we? But you know, they reject the word of God, when all the time we want for them is to see our mighty God, how great he is. So it's just a tremendous opportunity lost because of their rejection. You know, they're going to miss out on eternal blessing and eternal life. out there. But so we just see there that first that God is a helper of his people, amen. And we hear this through scripture, and particularly in Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 29, and it says, "Blessed are you, Israel," or "Blessed are you, Grow Church." Who is like you? That's the question. Who is like you? There's not a lot of people in the world who are like us. There's a great gathering of believers, but in the whole population, who is like you? Well, there's a lot of people who are not like us, isn't there? There's still a lot of people that we have to reach. A people saved by the Lord. He is your shield and helper and your glorious sword. Your enemies will cower before you and you will trample down the high place. So what a powerful promise that God is telling us, you know, that blessed are we, and who is like you, a people saved by the Lord. So that's a wonderful statement there. But the promise there, a couple more promises, 2 Chronicles chapter 25, verse 8. It's telling us there, God has the power to help or overthrow your enemy. God's given us that power and to overcome. Psalm 27, 9 also there, where David's crying out to God, and that's his plea. He said, "You've been my helper, Lord. Don't leave me. Forsake me. And again in Psalm 28, verse 7, and again here where David speaks, and he said, "The Lord is the strength of his people and a fortress of my salvation." Again, that's David's heart. It's David's cry, and he's saying to God, "Don't hide yourself from me." He's pleading to God, "Don't hide yourself from me." And so in all this, as the scripture says there, and it tells us David's heart was greatly rejoiced. And his exclamation was, and he said, "I will praise him and I will sing to him. I will sing to him in all my praises." And that was the heart of the psalmist David. He was always extolling and the goodness of God, and in the midst of his pleas and his ups and downs, he was always coming back and reinforcing the fact that the Lord is my strength. Amen. And he's pleaded to God. He said, "Lord, don't hide yourself from me." He said, "I couldn't stand it." He said, more or less what he's saying. He said, "I won't be able to bear it if you hide yourself from me, if I haven't got that access to you in that." So I really feel, you know, it's one of the most encouraging ways there that God has shown us the way. And that is, he is prepared to help us. And particularly in the powerful verse of scripture in Isaiah 41, chapter 41, verse 10. It says, "Fear not, for I am with thee." And so what more assurance can we have than God's strong statement, "Fear not, for I am with me." That should be enough for all of us, shouldn't it? And everything. And so God is saying, he's saying, "Don't be frightened. Don't be frightened. Don't be dismayed." He's saying, "I am your God. I will help you. I will strengthen you. And I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness." So there's six powerful things and reassurances there that God has shown about, you know, shown us about knowing the way, how we have that access to him, how he will provide a way for us to follow and to walk in. So God just doesn't invite us into his kingdom without giving us direction in which the way we're to go and how we're to wander through. We always know that God will do that. If he gives us a command or says something to us, well, he tells us how. There's always a way. God always provides a way, amen? just as we know that God provided the way for the Israelites, and we know, as the Exodus moved out, God went ahead of them. He provided that pillar of cloud by day and a fire by night, you know, just to guide them. He showed them that way. He made the way for them that they could follow all through that. And they came to the Red Sea, and the waters were parted so they could cross the other side again. Was open to them. But this only happened because of their obedience and the obedience of Moses and Aaron, as they, by doing what God asked them to do. He said to them there, stretch out your hands. And as they done that and held up the rod that we seen there, the waters were parted, and they entered in and crossed to the other side and entered in. But we also see in Genesis there another promise of God's word there. In Genesis chapter 50 and verses 24 to 25. And there it says, then Joseph said to his brothers, I'm about to die, but God will surely come to your aid and take you out of this land as he promised. Out of this land to the land he promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. And Joseph made the sons of Israel swear an oath and said, God will surely come to your aid. Then you must carry my bones up from this place. And so there that they were given the assurance there that, you know, God will come to your aid. God will make a way. God will make this thing happen for you. And we know that there. But remember what I said at the start of my message. It all takes effort and action by us, doesn't it? Effort and action by us to see God's hand at work. And when we reach out, when we do something, when we ask, God will answer. God will make a way. And and we know the waters were not parted until Moses raised his hand in obedience to God. And as we see in many, many other places and instances in the Word of God, it is only when we respond to the spoken word or by the leading of the Holy Spirit, will we see the how, why, when and where of God's hand at work. Amen? And so just concluding there, but just encourage you tonight that to have the faith to believe that God will make a way. God will make a way. And God will show you that way. He will make a way, but he'll also show you that way. So you have two promises there about God making a way, but he'll always show you how to go that way. This only comes about a way, but when God shows you the way, do as he says, walk ye in the way. Amen? Walk ye in the way. So, Father God, again, we just bless you for your word tonight, Father. Lord, we just thank you that you made the way possible. Lord, you, through the power of your word and the strength of your word, Father God, Lord, that we can take hold of all your precious promises. Lord, but for each one of us, you made the way possible that we can become to be a part of your wondrous kingdom through giving us your son, Jesus. He gave his life. He made that way possible as he gave his life for us, that as we come to know him and to believe in him, that we would have be a part of that wondrous kingdom, and we would have the promise and the presence of his Holy Spirit upon us, that he would walk with us and show us his way. So, Lord, we just bless you. We just again thank you, Father God. Lord, as we come to a close this night, take us into the coming week, Father God. Lord, that we might stand strong, and at every opportunity, Lord, that we might just speak forth about you, Lord. about you, Jesus. And as we do that, we know, Father, that you will give us that strength. Your power will come upon us in a very mighty and a powerful way as we look to you and reach out to you. So, Father, we just thank you again for this whole day, Father. Lord, for the two services this day, Father. Lord, for the way we've come together. We've been able to praise and worship you, Lord, and reach from you and hear the promise and the power of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.